If Skywalker is harmed, I will hold you personally accountable.
I see. I assure you that if I should happen to come across Skywalker, I will extend to him the same courtesy I would to you, Lord Vader.
Vader broke the connection. Zizo took a deep breath and exhaled slowly. Again, he told himself, it was to be expected that Vader would uncover some information about Skywalker sooner or later, as had the Emperor. Few things of any real value could be kept secret forever. Still, it was another irritant. This should have no effect on his plans, either. He would merely have to be more circumspect in his actions. When Skywalker could not be found, Vader might suspect who was responsible, but as long as he did not have proof, Zizor would be safe. Knowing that did not quite erase the lingering echo of fear. Of course, the Emperor could always shift his stance. He had done so more than a few times, and for reasons that often seemed capricious at best. Still, if Zizor could deliver the leaders of the Alliance, that would go a long way toward keeping Imperial favor. With the rebellion beheaded, a lot of effort would be saved. Billions of credits and tens of thousands of men and machines would be freed for the Emperor's other pleasures, whatever those might be. The Dark Lord of the Sith might rant, but as long as he was that useful, Zizor would be blaster-proof and untouchable. Darth Vader was too much the Emperor's puppet to go against Palpatine's wishes. This conversation was thus mildly upsetting, nothing more, and in fact had given Zizor knowledge he had not had before. Vader was not sleeping, and that was good to know. Underestimating one's enemy was always a bad thing. Leia went through the second exercise routine of the day, but kept it light. She might need to move in a hurry, and she wanted to be flexible and warmed up, but not exhausted. Things were about to happen. 36. The sludge was a greenish black, thick, oily, and it stank worse than anything Luke had ever smelled before. Dregs of the dregs, the silty goop was liquid, or at least fluid, and it flowed around their feet, splashing sometimes deeper than their ankles. Luke was very glad he had calf-length boots with his new clothes. The tunnel in which they walked was as big as Vidkin had promised. It was lighted from a row of somewhat dim overhead glow sticks, but bright enough to see as much as they wanted. Something ahead of them chittered, and there came a pair of splashes, as if somebody had dropped a couple of head-sized stones into the inky liquid. Chewie, in the lead, muttered something. He sounded quite agitated. He stopped moving. Lando, right behind him, and just ahead of Luke and Vidkin, said,
I heard it. It's not my fault you didn't want to wear boots. Go on. It's more afraid of you than you are of it.
Behind them, bringing up the rear, Dash said,
Yeah, better watch yourself, Chewbacca. I hear that sewer serpents love Wookiee toes.
Chewie's reply to that was short, sharp, and probably obscene. Lando said,
Fine, forget the life debt you owe Han. Let the bad guys keep Leia because you're afraid of a toothless little slitherette.
Chewie growled but started moving again. Vidkin said,
What's with the Wook?
He doesn't like little swimming or running things, Luke said. He really doesn't like them. Vidkin shrugged.
A few hundred more meters, he said.
He was apparently unaffected by their slog through the foul flow sloshing against their legs. Hey, Dash said, look out. Luke spun, pulled his lightsaber from his belt, and thumbed the weapon's control on. Just in time to see a large bloodshot eye pop up on a fleshy stalk attached to something slithering through the murky effluvium toward him. He also caught sight of Dash's fast draw. A Dianoga.
Don't shoot, Luke ordered.
With that, he dropped into a crouch and swung the lightsaber. The Dianoga tried to duck, but it was too slow. The shimmering beam of hard light sliced through the stalk, and the eye tumbled into the sludge. The wounded creature began to thrash wildly, heaving large and muscular coils of its body every which way. Luke stepped in closer and brought the blade down, hit the Dianoga's body a solid blow, and chopped it in half. The cut pieces continued thrashing, but the spasms quickly subsided. Dash spun his blaster around his finger and dropped it back into his holster.
Nice move, kid.
I've seen these things before, Luke said. Last time I ran into one was in a trash compactor. It nearly got me.
Chewie harned his agreement.
You spend a lot of time in places like this, Dash said.
Not if I can help it.
The five of them continued to wade through the mire.
just ahead, there,
Vidkin said. They stopped. There were two large round holes in the wall, covered with finger-thick metal mesh gates. The holes were angled down slightly. More sludge ran from the smaller tubes in a shallow stream to join the slow-moving slurry in the large pipe. Lando said,
Okay, Vidkin, let's see if those codes you have work.
The engineer moved forward, did something to the locking mechanisms with a plastic card. The gate swung open. He grinned at them.
See? Just like I told you. We want the one on the right.
Chewie started the climb into the new tunnel. It was a little short for him, but the others should have no trouble walking upright in it. Chewie slipped, nearly fell, managed to catch himself. He had to put one hand into the goo to do it, and when he pulled that hand out, it was as dark as the stuff that covered it. He shook his hand violently. Chewie was not happy.
Careful, Vidkin said. It's a little slippery in places.
Chewie turned slowly to stare at Vidkin. Lucky for the engineer that Wookiee eyes weren't lasers. Otherwise, Vidkin would have been burned into a crispy black lump where he stood. Lando chuckled.
Yeah, be careful, you big clumsy yow.
Lando skidded and sat down in the sludge. He came up fast, but not fast enough to keep his backside from being soaked. Chewie laughed so hard Luke thought he might fall again. Luke fought his own grin. It served Lando right, but he didn't want to be next, so he kept quiet. Things had a way of happening if you tempted fate.
You should have worn old clothes, Dash put in.
Hey, Rendar, I don't have any old clothes.
You do now. I don't think you'll ever get them clean enough to wear in public. They'd drum you right out of the elite stormtroopers smelling like that.
Shut up, Lando said.
They moved into the drain and climbed the slight incline very carefully.
Coming on the zap field, Vidkin said. Let me run the deactivator.
Everybody stopped while the engineer fiddled with the controls on a small black box he pulled from his belt. Just ahead of them, the air shimmered. There was a brief flash of purplish light.
Should be okay now, Vidkin said. Fine, you go first, Lando said.
The engineer glared at him but moved to the front. When he'd walked a few more meters without turning into crispy fried Vidkin, they followed him.
You'd think that after a while you'd get used to the smell, Luke thought. But it seemed to be constantly shifting, going from bad to worse, bringing forth stinks he'd never imagined.
It was going to take a real hot and real long shower to wash the stench off. Where they walked, the sludge reflected the pale glow stick light onto the walls of the tunnel in eerie rippling waves. The smallest sounds were magnified and echoed, lapping back at them from the hard duricrete walls.
Not far now, the engineer said.
Good, Lando, Luke, and Dash all said together. Chewie said something, too, and Luke didn't need a translator to figure out he was in agreement. Better to face Zizor's guards than endure this guck much longer.
There,
Vidkin whispered.
There is the entrance to the building. It leads into the recycler in the sub-sub-basement. There won't be any guards inside the recycler itself, but there will probably be some in the adjoining flow chamber. Here's the key to the rat crate.
He handed a plastic card to Lando.
See you.
He turned to leave. Dash stepped in front of him.
Where do you think you're going?
Hey, I'm done. I got you to the building. I got you the floor plans for the place. That was the deal.
Well, I guess you have got us there, Dash said. That was the deal, all right. But see, there's been a little change in our itinerary.
Vidkin looked alarmed.
Easy, we aren't going to blast you or anything. We'd just like you to come along until we get to a place where you can safely wait for us.
Vidkin wasn't having any of it. No offense or anything, but what if you get killed? I might be waiting a long time.
I guess you'll have to take that chance, Lando said. It's not that we don't trust you. It's just that we don't trust you. Besides, it'll be a lot nicer inside.
He waved at the gurgling black flow.
I don't mind a runoff, Vidkin said. I'm in it all the time.
Nevertheless, we insist, Lando said.
He patted his blaster. Vidkin shrugged.
Well, okay, since you put it that way.
And before anybody could react, he pulled a small blaster of his own from his coverall and started shooting wildly. Luke hadn't seen it coming. The guy didn't seem to be the type.
As a result, Luke was slow to clear his lightsaber. The first shot seared past, a clean miss. The second shot hit Dash. Luke heard him grunt. "Move, Luke." The engineer didn't get off a third shot because Dash snapped his blaster up and put a bolt right between the man's eyes. Vidkin went down with a gooey splash that sprayed black onto the tunnel walls. He slid a little way down the gentle slope on his back, turned slightly, then stopped. A wisp of smoke rose from the ragged hole in his forehead. "Dash?" "I'm okay. Just scorched me a little." He turned and showed the burn along his left hip. The bolt had sliced a clean line of Dash's coverall away and raised a large blister. It wasn't even bleeding. "Don't get any of this crud on you," Lando said, waving at the sewage. "Probably wouldn't do you any good." "Where'd he get the blaster?" Luke said, replacing his lightsaber. "Must have had it all along," Lando said. "What I'm wondering is, why'd he do it? We weren't going to hurt him." "Guy like that, he figures he sold out. Why shouldn't we?" Dash said. Luke opened the first aid kit he brought and offered Dash a surgical dressing. Dash slapped the patch on over his hip, pressed the seal, and relaxed a little as the topical painkiller in the bandage coated the wound. He moved to look down at Vidkin. "I stand corrected," he said. "I guess we were going to blast you, but it wasn't our idea." "Let's hope the guards didn't hear the shooting," Lando said. "Yeah." Luke looked around, took a deep breath. "Ready?" They were. 37. "Uh-oh," Luke whispered. Crouched behind him in the recycler, Lando also whispered, "I do not need to hear that." A beat. "What?" Even a whisper seemed loud in the chamber. More of the foul, murky fluid pooled around their ankles. A converter inset into the circular walls hummed and made yet more of the sewage, trickling it down an open drain. "Guards," Luke said.
"So?"
"There are 6 of them."
"6? To guard a sewage plant?"
Dash added his whisper.
"So what? That's only 1.5 each. How long does it take for you to pull a trigger, Calrissian?"
"Listen, pal, don't worry about how long I..."
"Shh,"
Luke said. He peered through the half-fogged cover plate on the recycler's door again. True, there were 6 men only a few meters away. Then again, 4 of them sat at a table, playing cards, blast rifles stacked against the wall. 2 others stood near the card players, watching and apparently offering advice, but they had their weapons slung over their shoulders. Dash was right. If they moved fast, they could cover the guards before they had a chance to unship their rifles. They could disarm them, tie them up, and be on their way with nobody the wiser. The trick was to do it before one of the guards got his comlink out to call for help. Luke moved away from the cover plate and crouched in the mire with the others.
"Okay, here's the deal. Dash, you pop the hatch. I'll go first. Chewie is behind me. Then Lando. You come last."
"Whoa, why that order?"
Dash whispered.
"And who put you in charge?"
"I can stop a bolt with my lightsaber if one of the guards is some kind of quick draw expert. Chewie is pretty impressive with his bowcaster. They'll pay more attention to him than you or Lando. Plus, he's a better shot if it comes to that."
"Not a better shot than I am. And it'd be a lot easier just to jump out and mow them all down," Dash said. "We hit them fast and hard. They're history."
"That's the difference between us and the Empire," Luke said. "They wouldn't hesitate to do it that way. We don't shoot unless we have to."
"Fine. Get us all killed being a nice guy."
Luke shook his head. A Jedi had to know how to be active if the situation required it, but a Jedi was also supposed to avoid violence whenever he could possibly do so. Warrior and killer did not mean the same thing.
"Okay. Ready?"
Luke held the lightsaber down low so the glow wouldn't give them away and clicked it on. He took a couple of deep breaths. "On 3. 1, 2, 3. Dash shoved the hatch open. Luke leaped out, brought his lightsaber up into a ready stance. "Nobody move," he yelled. Chewie jumped out behind him. The Wookiee's wet feet slid on the floor as if he were wearing ice skates, and he fell flat on his back. Lando tried to leap over Chewie, but tripped on the fallen Wookiee and sprawled face down.
The startled guards leaped up and went for their weapons.
Oh, man.
Leia was sitting on the bed when all of a sudden she felt a hot jolt of fear.
What?
They might be stuck in a lousy assignment, but the guards weren't slow. The two standing unslung their blast rifles and swung them up, fired. Luke blocked the first bolt, shifted in the force, blocked the second. Dash dived over Lando and Chewie, shoulder rolled once, stretched out prone, fired once, twice, three times. The two standing guards went down, but another one spun away from the wall, blast rifle spewing. Chewie sat up and the bowcaster spoke. The third guard went down, but the fourth one shot at them. Luke barely blocked the beam that vibrated his hands and arms hard, but the reflected bolt hit one of the overhead lamps and shattered it. The room went dimmer. Dash's blaster spat hard light again and again. Chewie's bowcaster thrummed. The guards were all down now, save one, but he didn't have a gun. He was yelling. Yelling into a comlink. Lando shot the last guard, and he dropped. The comlink flew from his hand and rolled to a stop next to Luke's boots. From the comlink came a tinny voice.
Fixed. What is going on down there? Fixed. Come in, Sector 1138. Come in.
Chewie came to his feet. The Wookiee shrugged and looked embarrassed. Luke shook his head, stomped down on the squawking comlink with his boot heel and smashed it.
So much for sneaking in quietly, Lando said.
Zeezer was paying the cultural minister his monthly bribe when Guri stepped into the room. The dark prince made polite noises and dismissed the minister. When the man was gone, he said,
What? A problem in the sub-sub-basement. What kind of problem?
She shrugged.
We don't know. That area is still not wired for surveillance, and the guards are not answering.
Another communication failure, he said. That happened a lot down where the pipes and conduits and heavy Durasteel beams were thick. Some kind of comm wave interference the engineers had not been able to resolve.